This decision comes earlier than normally. You promised early in the morning, but you're getting word out. Why the difference?
Well, Chris, each time we have one of these events, we learn, we try to do better. In fact, I'm in a meeting right now that I just stepped out of, which is the lessons learned from last week, so that we can try to do better every time. Obviously, we're facing a situation over the next 48 hours that the Weather Service uses the term for me. This is a very challenging forecast. that's a big warning light for me already. We're facing essentially, Chris, two storm systems. One that'll primarily start later tonight and into tomorrow, and then another one starting Tuesday night into Wednesday. The first one, though there will be not as much precipitation, there will be much colder temperatures, and so the likelihood for sort of an ice, sleet, slush mix is much higher. The second one, higher precipitation, but also likely to be higher temperatures, maybe even as warm as 50 on Wednesday. And so we're going to hold off making the Wednesday call until we get closer to Wednesday, because obviously that one may change. They say it could get colder, could stay colder, you know. So,
and everyone's very worried about ice.
Right. Yeah. So our biggest worry is Tuesday. And we know that we're looking at best a messy morning commute and potentially even a messy evening commute on Tuesday. And so with that in mind, we are encouraging people who can telework to telework, and for employees that, especially those living in the northern and western areas, that are going to be much more likely to face icy and dangerous conditions, that they should consider taking annual leave. Now, we may, in addition, as we get closer to tomorrow, decide on a status of government that may either delay arrival or close altogether. We will make that as we get better information. So right now, Chris, I don't have a good enough advice from the Weather Service. They update their forecast every 3 hours for me. And so I will get the next report is at 3, and then I'll get another one at 6. I'm going to wait for those two reports. So the earliest I would make a decision about tomorrow morning would be at 6. They may, in fact, say, you know, Mr. Barry, you should wait until later on this as we'll get better accuracy. So, you know, my promise is we won't go later than 4 a.m. We'll definitely make a call by then. If I can make it earlier, I will.
As you said, we pulled you out of a meeting where you were talking lessons learned. What are some of the lessons learned about last week, with the acknowledgement that this is the worst part of this job, is making this decision?
Well, it's, you know, like I say, we could always do better. I think, some of the things I just posed to the group is, how can we make sure, you know, when we make this in the evening or the nighttime, people are watching their televisions, they're checking their news stations. We know that the word is getting out, and that has a pretty good a way of getting through the news system. It's a different situation when we go with an early departure, because, Chris, people are in the workplace. They're obviously not watching TV. They're not listening to the radio. And they may not get the announcement. And so one lesson learned was, how do we make sure we're getting this word out through the employees at work? And so we're looking at other ways that we can help make sure that that occurs. The other thing we're discussing, Chris, is, whether we can, whether in a certain circumstance, what we tried to do last week was to stagger the departure so that we wouldn't, you know, rush to get everybody on the road at one time. I think if there's been a misunderstanding, is I think people think we put everybody out at 3 o'clock, and that was not the case. I think you all covered that correctly, but many other news outlets didn't. One of the things we were trying to do was to give people adequate time to get on the road before the storm began. And in fact, I've gotten a lot of nice emails from folks, along with a lot of bad ones, saying that, you know, they took advantage of it and got home safely. What we may need to consider is, especially when we know it's going to be a fast-arriving storm, is really sort of closing the, rather than trying to stagger it, actually closing, but closing much earlier to allow people to get on the road while it's still dry and still light, recognizing, you know, I don't have the authority to
order forcibly people, take people out,
you know, order yeah. people to evacuate. But if at least I can make, I could have perhaps been very much clearer and said, look, this is going to be a serious storm as of 4 o'clock. If it's going to come so fast, you know, if you're waiting until you see snow, you're going to be too late. That you need to get on the road, you know, by 3 or by 2. And make sure that you're on the front of this, not wait until, you know, 4. And so we're debating and discussing how we can make those, how we can advise people better by describing to them the situation that they face. And so one of the things, for example, in this storm, the Weather Service is telling me it's going to be very variable over the region with a whole slew of different conditions, which is why by allowing unscheduled leave and unscheduled telework, we're hopefully letting as many people adjust to those variances. And then as we get more definitive information on the Washington Metro inside the Beltway area from the Weather Service as the day goes on for tomorrow, we can then make the appropriate call, you know, as we hope is right.
Telework. You keep talking about telework, and it seems like an idea like, oh my goodness, my sister-in-law, she works for, she's a Fed, and she's like, oh my goodness, I get to telework. This is a major point for her liking her job. And yet a lot of people, both supervisors and also employees, have this out of sight, out of mind kind of attitude. Still, it seems difficult to make this actually come about.
Well, I hope this is a good teaching opportunity, Chris, and it's a good one, and I appreciate you all sort of underscoring the message, is that, you know, when we have challenging circumstances like this, telework is one mechanism that allows us to continue government operations and continue service to the taxpayers, as well as keep our employees safe. And so, you know, it's a very important and a very powerful tool. My hope is all of the folks who had a headache last week and had to deal with a very horrible commute will now come into their manager and say, look, you know, we hadn't talked about telework before. I want to sit down and talk about telework now. And I want to, how can I do this? How can we work together to accomplish this? And I hope that this is going to give new energy to that dialogue and that discussion all across the government.
Talk a little bit about the steps, Opie, because you now have some responsibilities under the new telework law, and I know some of those are you're working on them, and they're going to be coming out soon. But does that also change the how this moves forward?
Well, at the end of the day, the law encourages, you know, agencies need to specify a senior leader who is the advocate for telework in that agency, and that will help. So there's a lot of things that the law will do to help. But at the end of the day, as what you and I just discussed, what is going to make or break this is whether employees and managers sit down and actually say, how are we going to do this? And that is the conversation that I hope will come out of the lessons learned from last week, that one of the best ways we can move forward, if people will remember last week, I made the announcement at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you were telework eligible, you could have left at 11. And I got a lot of thank you letters last week from people who did just that and said they watched the snowstorm out their window and enjoyed a glass of wine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope our employees will take advantage of that. They will meet with their managers. They will drive the point, and they will continue to help us keep government operations up and running by doing it, by making telework very effective.
Some agencies have telework agreements where if you do telework and the government closes, it says the government is closed, except if you have a telework agreement. People felt a little bit like, hold on, I'm being caught because I have a telework agreement.
Well, I mean, I think ultimately, Chris, you know, we all are adults, and most federal employees, in fact, I would say 99% of federal employees are doing their jobs. The reason they are federal employees is they want to serve their neighbors. They want to serve the public. They're not doing it because they want a snow day.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and so
even if they are sleeping with their pajamas out inside,
you know,
out,
we may face a period of time whereby people feel, well, wait a minute, how come I have to work and somebody else doesn't? There may be a few people like that, but everybody I know who can telework enjoys continuing to work from home. They enjoy the opportunity it allows them to continue to serve their neighbors and their communities and provide good government service. And that's what federal employees are about, Chris. You know, and ultimately, where I would love to be is I should never have to have a snow day again. Yeah. If every employee was telework eligible, snow would be irrelevant because people would just operate safely tomorrow from home and we could maintain the same level of service to the taxpayer.
And makes it so much easier on the street, people who are trying to maintain the streets and the emergency workers who have to
Absolutely.
Get around and all those
and
other
this
things.
Could, this will benefit us, Chris, not just for snow, but for any emergency situation, a terrorist attack or God forbid. But, you know, it is where we need to go. It is where we need to drive the government and our workforce and our managers. We're going to continue to press ahead. That is the directive the president wants, is a fully operational government that never closes. And so, you know, I look forward to the day when the snow day is a warm memory, but only that.
30 seconds more and then I'll let you go. You mentioned maybe being more forceful about the kind of wording that OPM uses when it puts these messages out. Any other lessons learned from what happened last week?
Well, you pulled me out of my meeting, so they were starting to discuss and add to the list as I left, but I'm looking forward to getting back in there and doing. My goal, Chris, and my promise is this, is look, each time we learn something, yeah. and we try to do better every time, and we try to, you know, our promise is to try to, you know, safety is the first decision, maintaining government operations is the second. We try to do as best we can, and we learn each and every time to do better.
And TOP had a story about possibly the Council of Governments getting together and saying, hold on, we're in a place where stay wherever you are, don't leave. Would that be an option?
That is certainly something to look at. We do have shelter in place. We train for that in the federal government. And, in fact, employees have an emergency kit bag. Here at OPM, for example, it's the first thing that is issued to you when you arrive as a new employee. I, for example, add to my rations in that bag by stuffing about 3 or 4 Snickers bars in there, knowing that if it's going to be a long night and I'm having dinner here, I'm at least going to enjoy a few sweet calories.
Right.
But so, yes, we do train for a shelter in place, Chris. You know, that is something we're looking at, and that I know is on our discussion agenda here as well, is that in a situation like this, you know, where it comes so fast and so furious, that might it not be better to encourage people to, you know, to shelter in place for the evening. So we're looking at that option as well, Chris.